You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to Finding Your Forte Talk Radio Show on Up to Me Talk Radio. I'm really excited to come to you today on our Power Lunch Hour. We have a special guest, and I'm laughing already because we have been trying to get her to come on the podcast for a while, and she has been diligently working away at trying to create a purpose, so she had a story to share with us. But I'll get to her in just a moment. But I'm really excited to share some great news that I'll save the punchline for the end of the podcast. But hopefully you enjoyed the song that's the opening ditty that we listened to at the beginning of the show, Free Your Dreams by the artist Shante Khan. That song is on her most recent album. She's actually getting ready to release a new one coming soon. More about that towards the end of the show, but I am elated to introduce you to one of my favorite people who just happens to also be a client and has been diligently working on pursuing her purpose through her passions, gifts, and motivations, and your crescendo has been along with her along the way. So, listeners, I would like for you to give us give her a warm welcome at your desks or in your car or wherever you're listening. Have your own little personal ovation. I am excited to welcome to Finding Your Forte, Charlotte Bell. She is the Macaronista, which is our affectionately named title for her. She is professionally a pastry chef. And a year ago, almost to the day, and she'll be able to kind of correct me when she comes on here in a second, launched MyFairLadyMacarons.com. But anybody who knows her will tell you she's been working on that business for some time now, in addition to a number of other things that got to there. So, Charlotte, thank you for coming. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate having the opportunity to join in. As Reggie said, I am Charlotte Bell. I am the Macaronista of My Fair Lady Macarons. My Fair Lady specializes in premium macarons. I'm pretty sure listeners are familiar with macarons. They're becoming a hot commodity now. And My Fair Lady actually showcases the flavors of the South. There are no shortcuts with My Fair Lady macarons. As I mentioned, they are premium. If I say it's sweet potato or peach cobbler or maple bacon or even collard greens and cornbread, that's what it's going to taste like.
That's one of my favorite things about, what I will reflect on happily in this conversation is the learning curve that I've been on around just being an insider around macarons. And so, as you might imagine, when Charlotte and I began working together a little while ago, I had little exposure to macarons. And so, most people, if you haven't had much exposure to macarons, you immediately think of the American dessert, which is, I won't be snooty, but a poor man's cousin of the macaron. It's like a lump of coconut with some sticky stuff in it. But, a macaron is this exquisite pastry that is usually from Paris or somewhere in Italy. Charlotte will correct me here, but it's a European kind of origin pastry. And
yes,
the really well-done ones are, well, Charlotte's are handcrafted. She makes no shortcuts in it. We have really been particular about never, ever shortcutting on that and creating a premium experience for people that have fallen in love with it, perhaps, maybe in their travels to Europe, and would love to be able to get something along those lines and that level of, care and hand crafting here while in the States, and then have it infused with some of the flavors that we love here. So outside of making this a commercial, because that could easily happen when I get to talk about My Fair Lady, I'm such a fan of them personally, and of course I'm a fan of the story behind them. But now you can see why I was so excited to have Charlotte join us on the show today.
Yeah.
Charlotte, would you give us a little bit about the story? I mean, we've done a pretty good job of trying to make sure that that's out there, but the reality is it's out in so many pieces. If you're digging deep on social media, you might find a good video clip, or on your website somewhere, you'll be able to see the story. But not everyone has an opportunity to see the deep and rich story of the relationship that you have, and how your journey has taken you to the point of, where you are today. So give us some of the stuff that, people don't always know when they, happen to place a subscription for My Fair Lady Macarons.
Right. Well, my influence is my family, and especially my grandmother and my mom. My grandmother being the baker of the family, looks like it skipped a generation. My mom pretty much dealt with, the savory foods, the collard greens, cornbread, and things like that. They both influenced me in a culinary way. I started baking, many, many years ago when I first moved from Columbus, Georgia to Atlanta after college. And being on my own allowed me to, of course, be in my own space, experimenting in the kitchen that I affectionately call the lab. And I got a little nostalgic for things that I miss from home. And sometimes when I wasn't able to just jump in the car and go home, I would want to create those things myself. And so it started with me perfecting the things that were really, favorites of mine, from my grandmother, her sweet potato pie, her peach cobbler, and things like that. And, it was just the basics of creating those particular things, those flavors. And I'd share them with my friends and family and get joy from sharing and them, enjoying it themselves. And over the years, I added more and more goods to my repertoire, and my grandmother at some point gave me her stamp of approval and officially made me the baker of the family for all the family holidays and whatnot. Fast forward, working in corporate America and being a part of, what can happen and being laid off, I decided that I wanted to go to culinary school and just, get some education on the process, the whys, the hows, things happen with baking. In class, I don't think we really ever did a complete macaron. I think we did some shells to go on another product that we needed to do in class, but the process intrigued me enough that I went and did research on my own. And so I actually started creating macarons back in 2011, and that was well before, people started paying attention to them as they do now. And so since that time, I've had an opportunity to perfect it, create my own because they're a little finicky, and the humidity in Georgia can play, you know, a tricky piece in them coming out the way they should. I decided to, at one point I decided to have a little pop-up sale to just sell some of the flavors that I tested out one weekend, and of course that brought the attention of Reggie, and at that point we started, you know, working together, and Reggie coaching me through finding my purpose, and in the midst, you know, discovering more about me and why I do what I do. And in that process, ultimately I determined that I love bringing people together and ultimately sharing my heritage, that is the flavors from my childhood, things that I grew up with, the flavors that a lot of people, especially, you know, in the South, are used to, and are classic flavors of the South. And I felt that incorporating those flavors, or finding a way to incorporate those in such an international symbol, that being the macaron, would be a great way to share my heritage with people who are familiar with those flavors, and as well those people who may travel here internationally who are familiar with the macaron itself, but not necessarily those flavors of the South.
You know, I know your story, and, you know, I've been, you know, kind of intimately involved in helping getting your story told in a way that honors where you got your inspirations, both from your grandmother and then from your career trajectory. But, you know, I actually, for the purpose of this conversation, there are a couple of things that I feel like are worth, you know, showing people what was going on in your head and your heart as you were making these pivotal decisions on your trajectory. And one of them is, and in fact, I caught you after you had already made this decision, but you kind of glanced over it, but it is one that parallels what a number of particularly clients that your Crescendo works with, but in a lot of cases just professionals wrestle with. And that is, you know, what do you do when you have a passion for something and it doesn't quite line up with what your experience is? Like, how committed, or how do you know when it's time? For you, your experience has been in the project management and delivery and some, you know, a number of roles in that realm. And I think you have that in common with, you know, because I have personally come up through management consulting as a career, and those practitioners deliver projects for a living. So, you know, you have that in common with a number of the people that I work with on a day-to-day basis. And in a good number of those kind of cases, they have a passion that they don't see that quite aligns with, you know, where they have been professionally. And so you had to kind of wrestle with this decision. Do you make this really hardcore pivot to something that you're passionate about and, you know, make the push for it? Or do you really focus on provision and safety and security of, you know, being able to continue to support a lifestyle that you become accustomed to? How do you work through that decision?
Well, sometimes it's more than just a lifestyle that you become accustomed to, and I'm pretty sure others can relate to this. That at some point in your life, it's not just about you. It's about your children. You know, I also have a 20-year-old who's in college, and I have a 17-year-old who's a sophomore in high school. And so, you know, that's you know, if it was just me, maybe I would have made that hardcore pivot. But because you do have to take into account the well-being and care of other people besides yourself. And, you know, me as a single mom at this point, I have to think realistically about that. And, you know, I'm at a point right now where it's kind of like a countdown mode between, you know, the kids now, because, you know, in a couple of years, my son will probably be graduating or close to it. And in that time frame, you know, between now and then, I'm really looking at making more pivotal moves, simply because that, you know, I'll be at a different juncture, you know. So
I think that you know, from my perspective, the move you made was a hardcore pivot, right? Because you know, I mean, there's no one that can look at the effort and the work and the, you know, resources that you've invested in framing up this business in the early going that wouldn't say that was a really hardcore pivot. I mean, you could easily, you know, have been completely focused on only doing, you know, your work professionally. And then, you know, what many people don't know is that you have a range of gifts that you can take to market, you know, in a number of ways. I mean, you kind of been there, done that, and exploring these gifts. You're a singer, an amazing musician, I might add. And now you're, you know, a pastry chef. So you have to make tough decisions on what you invested your time in. So I applaud that you, you know, kind of took that step to start the process. And really, it's almost as if you're in an incubator mode now. You're incubating this business so that if you decide to, you know, hang a shingle, get that, you know, coveted bakery that, you know, is the beginnings of your own personal shop and your corner of the world that you hope to bring everyone to enjoy your delectables, you know, then, you know, that will have been very intentional. The timing would have been cautiously worked towards. I guess, you know, I think what would be most useful for people to be able to take away from your story is just believing enough in yourself to begin to make those investments in the passions you have, and to know that your experiences have prepared you, even if only even in, you know, maturity or business acumen, and then, you know, kind of following your heart and, you know, looking for opportunities to push your passion to the edge. And that, once you get to the edge, it's, you know, I have a neighbor who tells me, you know, leap and the net will appear. And, you know, if you're ever in situations where you're at that crossroads, then that's when the net appears. That's when the opportunity is there. But if you just kind of stayed back at the, you know, on the porch and
right,
never pursued your passion and never even has a chance to show up.
Right. And this is true. It's been, you know, a one step at a time, you know, movement. And true enough, every time I make a step, you know, another door opens, or, you know, a little bit more of the vision is revealed, which is very true. You know, and granted, you know, we make decisions when our 9-to-5 and what's, you know, sustaining our lifestyles and our care for our loved ones doesn't necessarily, you know, equal exactly what our passion is. It looks a little bit different. And I'm pretty sure we take aspects of whatever we're learning in that 9-to-5 world and we apply it to whatever that passion is. And of course, I apply my project management skills to My Fair Lady. It's still something that, yes, you do have to diligently work toward while you're doing what you got to do. And yes, it requires the focus and the I guess the relationship, you know, with your purpose to keep moving forward. And it's just a matter of continuing to move forward. And it's also just a matter of time. You know, as much as we have the vision in front of us, it always takes those little steps in order to build toward that full view of that vision and for that vision to come to fruition. So, yeah, that is very true, Reggie. Take that step, and step appears.
I have seen it happen all too often, so I'm a fan. I think, you know, in so many ways, my own life parallels the life that I'm trying to encourage other people. And I just remember being at the place where I needed to make big, bold moves. And, you know, having that level of encouragement around me has given me the messaging, if nothing else, to be able to help people do the same. I want to talk also specifically around something else that we had to work through. And it's a little bit of a funny story, certainly a little levity to how we began our work. And so I'm going to share it, Charlotte, and I'm sure you'll chuckle a little bit. But so Charlotte and I went to undergraduate together at Albany State College, Albany State University.
Yes.
Go Rams.
Yes, go Rams.
and while we knew of each other and how we, you know, how our lives moved on after college, we hadn't been in direct touch, but we were, you know, Facebook friends, kind of what happens a lot. You know, Facebook is great in terms of connecting over friends. And so I saw that Charlotte was promoting her macarons on her Facebook page. And, you know, she actually reached out to me and said, you know, hey, we talked. And so we exchanged messages back and forth, but, you know, nothing really happened. And so at that point, she's on my radar, you know, kind of just checking out her page. And every time she posts something, I'm taking a look at it. And at one point, I remember thinking, and she has put a lot of work into these pastries. And I imagine, like most new entrepreneurs, it's kind of a test of faith, if you will, when you're early in the going to really want to be able to get people to try your product, to price it in a way that, you know, that will attract people. So I remember seeing these handcrafted, you know, natural ingredients from all corners of the world that she brought together to make these macarons, being at what I knew could not be the price that these macarons should bear in the market. And so, you know, I can't remember whether it was a call or it was a message on Facebook or something. I was like, hey, Charlotte, we got to talk.
Yeah.
You're giving away the goods. And the
Facebook message.
Right. And the reason why that was really important and the reason that I want to lift that to this conversation is because oftentimes people step into the trap of, you know, especially when it aligns with a passion, people are all too willing, because they love doing it, they're all too willing to give it away as opposed to, and I know I'm being extreme when I say give it away. You weren't giving it away. But because it's your passion, you love to do it, you are okay with doing it as much as possible as long as people will enjoy it. But the trapping in that is, if you're going to launch a business around it, you got to be able to launch businesses in a way that have sustainable business margins built into the way that you take it to market. And so what we learned pretty quickly was, you know, any of these people or any of these other bakeries that are selling macarons at $2, $2.10, or, you know, wherever they've got them priced, they really can't, unless they have figured out some mass production, which means they're probably not very good, unless they figured out some kind of mass production around these things that are meant to be handcrafted, then they aren't making very much on them and they won't be around for a while. And so we had a really healthy period in which we had to get real comfortable with our faith and our belief in you and your gifts and your passion and make tough decisions around how we wanted to make sure that these premium products were priced in a premium way. You know, I was there as you went through that process, but I think it would be great to have you share what that experience was like as you were going through it.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. And you know what, the thing about it is that what you stated was really one of the identifiers of something that is your passion, and that is something that you're so willing to do that sometimes you'll darn near give it away just because you're passionate about it and you want to get it to people, have them try it, and so for that reason, yes, it was very underpriced to begin with. It was a bit painful, you know, it was a struggle for me to come to terms with, but at the same time, you know, and I'm pretty sure you can attest to, you know, my frame of mind about it now versus in the beginning. Over time, I've come to realize not just the value of the product, but the value of myself and the time that I put into it. And the fact that I'm not just, you know, putting some buttercream in the middle and making a flavor out of it. I'm actually putting the actual ingredients that will go into whatever it is I tell you it is. And those actual ingredients are being, you know, incorporated in the construction of them, of the macaron. So that process of pricing your product, whether it's a skill or an actual product itself, pricing it so that it actually reflects the value, the true value of it, and the self that you put into it. So, yeah, I struggled with it for a bit, but believe me, once I started, you know, really seeing and just kind of taking a step back and actually seeing myself, you know, what I'm doing, the time that I'm putting into it, the late nights and sometimes, you know, a couple hours of sleep here and there before the next day, yeah, it's very well worth it, and maybe he's still underpriced, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think the biggest, you know, kind of test of that theory is, you know, whenever if you think about, you know, premium / luxury brands that mm-hmm. launched, I'm sure that they all had, you know, slow going on the front end,
yeah.
And they, you know, kind of had to incubate mm-hmm. the brand a bit and let it, you know, and let it start to get some brand advocacy and start to build brand champions,
yeah.
so that it can grow. So it's a slower growth model, but it
yeah.
has, it's one that has a longer profitability trajectory because, you built a premium product that doesn't require you to begin to compromise in order to meet your price. And so if someone were to come along and calculate like the net present value of your offering, then it would be higher because it has such a long, you know, kind of trail of margins and profitability longer term. And you don't have to compromise this premium product in order for it to happen. So, you know, it takes some patience as an entrepreneur to watch that play out, especially when you see, you know, macaron shops popping up left and right as where someone had seen one perhaps and said, you know, I think I can make these, and all it takes is one bite. And then you have to kind of look back at the label to see what flavor that was, to realize that any person could come along and start making them,
right.
But very few people can come and make them with the intensity of flavors that they have. They're nowhere near as creative as yours. I mean, you had I get a chance to see them be creative, but the most creative and exciting one that I've seen is the one that you made with Saint Germain and with the Saint Germain is my favorite liqueur, and
yeah.
and then it had finger limes in the filling, which is citrus caviar. Oh my God, that's just that you know, that was an amazing macaron. And I still have friends that have had your macaron that send me OMG texts from themselves and their friends when they've had a chance to try one of the big bowl flavors that you created.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Yeah. Nothing like presenting something, you know, with the flavor, and it's actually the flavor.
That's exactly right. And I love that you are committed to keeping the flavor. And, you know, I know you see, as you're making these exquisite products, you know, that I know you see opportunities where if you wanted to change an ingredient that was cheaper or easier to get to, or in some cases half the cost, that you could yield to temptation and start doing that. But I would beg and plead you not to, to be able to kind of sustain a premium product. But I do so knowing that I don't have to tell you that, because you basically have already said that was your, that's going to be who you are. You're never going to compromise ingredients in a way that compromises the product.
Yeah. It really kind of lends to my background. I am a computer science major, and part of that is being able to figure out the logic behind something in order to get the result that you want. And I've always been a lover of puzzles, and it's nothing like having a challenge for me, that is. If someone says, well, you know, I really want this flavor in this macaron, especially something like finger limes that has moisture, natural moisture in it, then you have to kind of figure out, okay, how am I going to do this? And it's not a quick and easy process sometimes to create a macaron, but when I figure out that way, maybe it's going to take just a little bit longer to get that filling to behave like I want it to, so that it marries with the macaron shell to create that final product, then that's what I do. And so that's what makes them premium. Instead of just grabbing a buttercream, throwing a flavor in it and saying this is what it is, if it's sweet potato pie, that's what's in there. But I've had to make some adjustments to keep the integrity of the macaron while, you know, allowing that flavor to come through.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. We're at a point in the conversation, and we know that we can take this on for some time, but I think it's a good point in our conversation to take a quick break, and we will thank our sponsor properly, and just after this break, we'll come back and finish our conversation.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up2magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Well, thank you all, listeners, for rejoining us on the Finding Your Forte podcast talk radio show. We're excited to be on the Up to Me radio station. And today our guest is Charlotte Bell, who is founder and owner of My Fair Lady Macarons. She's also the chief macaronista. I just put a chief in front of it, Charlotte.
Hey.
A whole nother level. There's no other macaronista that is more important than the chief macaronista. But we're really having a good conversation just with Charlotte, and just, you know, understanding what was going on the inside with her as she brought her purpose and her business to the surface to share with the world on the outside. Charlotte, you often talk about the capability of food and pastries to carry a conversation, which I just found intriguing. And yes, I was a part of the conversation as we knew that was how you were embracing your purpose as a way to bridge cultures. But, you know, as we live in a world that's, you know, so in need of that, you know, we got to share more about what's behind that. So if you don't mind, tell us what you mean when you talk about that.
Well, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, macarons have become this international symbol. You know, it's gotten a great amount of attention and intrigue here in the States. Macarons are very much well established over in Europe, and have been for hundreds of years, actually. And because we have such an international world, you know, at this point, you know, especially being here in the hub of Atlanta, in Metro Atlanta, we see a lot of cultures, you know, come here. They either have family here, or, you know, they're traveling back and forth, whatever the case may be. So we see that footprint, you know, really expanding or has expanded now. And, you know, especially now in the world, in terms of us understanding each other, having some sort of common ground, you know, we need to find as many things as possible that can allow those conversations to happen, just to open the door for conversation between cultures. And I look at the opportunity for me to take something that is this international symbol, this dessert, this food that you recognize no matter where you are at this point. I don't care what country you're in, everybody knows what a macaron is on site. However, there are some classic flavors of macarons that, of course, you never, ever run across over in Europe. And to be able to take that and offer it as a conversation starter here, which, again, like I said, is an international hub, to take that and offer it here as this vehicle that would draw in that international clientele, that customer, say, hey, I recognize that. You know, that's something that I'm familiar with. It will draw them in, but then it'll give them a taste of something that they may not normally come across. They may not venture, you know, into, you know, this soul food cafe. just to say, hey, let me go in here and try something. But if they come across this macaron and it happens to have collard greens and cornbread flavoring, or sweet potato pie or peach cobbler, just think about, you know, the conversation that it'll start, you know. And if I have an event, you know, that's being attended by people from different walks of life, and someone in that same situation, you know, they've never tasted those, you know, southern flavors that are from my heritage, and they happen to be in attendance at this event with my macarons, and they're standing right next to someone who is familiar with those flavors from my culture but not necessarily familiar with the macaron itself, it can spark a conversation between those two people that would normally not have anything maybe to say to each other other than hi. You know, they may have a conversation about, you know, what they're experiencing.
That is so true. And, I love that you're positioning the brand and the product in the space where that's more likely to happen. A number of your customers have been enthusiasts for travel and, you know, are more likely to have experienced the macaron. I sometimes see, you know, friends that when they go to Paris, they can't wait to head to Lottery or, you know, some of the other kind of premium or well-known brands in the macaron business.
Right.
So it is definitely something that has become a bit of a, you know, it's not something that you're just eating for nutritional content. It's an experience. It's an elevated experience, and it's hard to describe it in any other way. And the other thing that you do that's somewhat unique is once somebody has had that experience, it's easy for them to subscribe to My Fair Lady and then be able to get that, you know, visit abroad, if you will, with macarons, you know, once a month, and you'll ship them a box each month.
Right.
You know, so, you know, tell us a little bit about that and how you go about the whole process of coming up with new flavors. And, you know, I, as a person that's seen you just go into crazy innovation mode and just, you know, pulling your hair out with trying to make flavors come together in the right way, share some of that experience with our listeners that are in a lot of ways thought leaders with around their own passion and just trying to get their passions out.
Right. Yes. My Fair Lady offers the opportunity for subscriptions, 3-month and 6-month subscriptions, as well as the purchase ready box, single box, which is available. Of course, you can have a subscription for yourself, or you can buy a gift subscription for someone else if you're already a macaron connoisseur of My Fair Lady macarons and you want to share that experience. You think someone else would love to indulge on a monthly basis, that opportunity is definitely there. As far as the flavors are concerned, those flavors come from customers who say, for instance, something just like you, Reggie, you've got a favorite liqueur, which is Saint Germain. So right there, that's a challenge for me to say, hey, let me see if I can make this Saint Germain macaron that would give you the indulgence of a favorite flavor in the form of a dessert, and you can share it with others, or of course, indulge in it on your own by yourself. It's one of those things that allows me to pull the customer and the potential customer into an experience, an indulgent experience of their own. If they have a flavor from their childhood or a beverage or something that they want to try to recreate that flavor, and I call those bespoke flavors, flavors that are not necessarily things that I already offer, but will create and allow the customer to taste. And that lends into special occasions. You know, so if My Fair Lady Macarons is chosen to help someone celebrate a special occasion and they have a certain flavor profile, it's a wonderful opportunity to customize that experience. So it's a very memorable one. So, yeah.
And memorable it is. I've seen people go through great lengths to try to describe this experience in a way that often I'm not easily able to put words behind. You know, one of the things that, you know, before the show, we were chatting while we're in soundcheck, and you mentioned this kind of new awakening that you've had recently to the parallels between your following your path and pursuing your purpose being much like a relationship. And I'll just stop there because I don't want to give too much of it away. But share with us, share with our listeners what you mean by that. I'm really intrigued to hear more about this.
Yeah, sometimes when I have the opportunity to just really, really dive deep into where I am, you know, and just kind of assess myself, I have a chance to just really think and just determine, you know, where am I? And in that process, just recently, I've found myself realizing that I'm actually in a relationship with my purpose. Once you've found your purpose, you know, it's not enough just to find it. It's just like finding that person, that mate, and building a relationship with them. And I've learned that operating within my purpose required that I build a relationship with it. And so, you know, just kind of going back to my path to where I've come to now, you know, I had a crush on my purpose. I kind of messed around a little bit, you know, to see, you know, what it could do for me. Back in 2011 when I first started working with Macarons, it was interested in me, but the timing wasn't right. And so I went and worked on myself, got some new skills, and learned as much as I could about Macarons and you know, how I needed to get them to a point where they could, you know, do what they needed to do here in this atmosphere in Georgia. Came back around and the timing was perfect. Had everything in place and I dove into it, invested in it on all levels, still investing. My purpose encourages me to keep moving forward. You know, when I get feedback on the Macarons and the experience people have with them, it's encouraging. Sometimes it ticks me off because it's keeping me up late. You know, just like talking on the phone late to that special person, you know, and not wanting it to end because it feels good. It makes me do things that I never thought I'd do, including speaking in front of an audience, whether it's in person or on a conference call.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but, yeah, it did take you a while to come on our show. I have to share that bit with our listeners, but for some time now I've been wanting Charlotte to come on our show, and she finally agreed to do so. So I guess she's at the point in her relationship where they're okay with it being public that they're in this relationship.
Right.
and she can tell the story now. So thank you, Macarons, for staying in the relationship long enough for us to be able to share the story. So many people I know will be really encouraged by your perseverance, by your, you know, faithfulness to the work you've been called to do, by your patience in the process, and to know that all three of those things you're going to need even more as you continue to, you know, kind of take it forward. You know, as we get, you know, close to, this has been an amazing conversation, and I really appreciate you sharing some things that are usually, you know, pretty intimate for people. But as we think about, you know, where you are now and you look forward, like what is on the horizon for My Fair Lady?
Oh, boy. Lots of wonderful things. In terms of being able to present Macarons in a much broader fashion, not just on a retail scale, but on a corporate level, being able to customize them in a way that appeal to specific events and clients. So we're looking to take My Fair Lady beyond the walls of you know, like I said, retail, but also to wholesale and beyond. So I'm very excited about it. Very much looking forward to all the doors that will open for that. You know, being able to collaborate with some established culinary icons, and I think the possibilities are quite endless. But the more My Fair Lady is able to spread the message of crossing cultural lines, and the more you know, the bigger the vehicle is in the corporate arena for being able to do that, I think it'll take the brand to whole new levels, and establish My Fair Lady Macarons as the place that, or the brand that you seek out when you do make your way to Georgia. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have been elated to be a part of that journey to this place, and I am even more elated to see all of what you just said that's on the horizon play out. I happen to, you know, just because of our work, know of some pretty phenomenal opportunities that are literally in your lap that you're deciding which of them, you know, is a priority and which of them to pursue, including, you know, placements on the menus at restaurants and placements mm-hmm. in some, you know, premium grocery outlets. So those are all amazing things to have to be on the horizon for a brand that we really thought was going to focus on its, you know, kind of online presence and subscription model. So it's a testament to the whole think big, start small, and scale fast. So you're going into the scale fast phase, Charlotte. And as you continue to grow through that phase, I wish you the best. I continue to pray that God brings the abundant blessings that He's brought through the experience of taking your gift to the world. But then just as you have the opportunity to serve your purpose and being able to connect people and peoples and cultures through flavors that take something as quaint and exquisite and just, you know, really geographically focused as Southern flavors and place them into this, you know, amazing European pastry. I can't imagine anyone ever thought of that. But here you have, and you've taken it to the market in a really compelling way. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you spending your time with us today.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I haven't even shared this news with Charlotte yet, so I'll share it both with her and our listeners what I'm really excited to share. So as you, for the life of the Finding Your Forte talk radio show on Up to Me Productions, you always hear as we come on and as we go off, a cool little ditty that I love called Free Your Dreams by an artist by the name of Shante Khan. And I came to know of her through her work with Snarky Puppy, which is a band I think they're out of New York. But she wrote a song, and it's on their album, but it was later on her album. And I love this song for what it does for me, just in terms of getting me in the right mind state for the work that I do, both with myself and my clients. It's just a great song. I actually have a soundtrack of songs that I put together that are good for that, and it is always front and center. Well, I'm excited to share that our next guest on next week's show is going to be none other than Miss Shante Khan. She was generous enough over a year or so ago to allow us to use that song on the show, and now she is going to come on our show. And it is an anticipation of her album that is dropping here really soon, if it's not already out. And you might, if you are an avid Finding Your Forte listener, you might remember that some shows ago we had on the founder of Next Level Events, Craig Garrett. Well, he is the one that connected us to their group to be able to have permission to use the song, and he has come through yet again to arrange for her to be our guest on the podcast. So we're really, really, really excited about that. We love the song so much, and I got to tell you, I've had some experiences. I remember one in particular where one of the more formidable executives here in the city, Cyril Turner, was a guest on the show. And, you know, while we were sitting there, you know, kind of waiting out the sponsor break at about the halfway point, you know, it's typically pretty quiet. You're listening. You're waiting for the show to come back on. He leans over. He was like, "Who's the artist on that song?" So anybody who hears the song loves the song, and then they later go on to discover that her music in general is really encouraging, very inspiring, an extremely unique voice. I love it. I call it, in my mind, if I try to describe it, she's like a human flute. I can't wait to see what she thinks of that description of her voice. But I'm excited to be able to have that conversation with her personally. She will be our guest on the show next week. And if you want to warm up and get ready for that, then definitely go check the song out. It's called Free Your Dreams. And also be on the lookout for, it might already have dropped her new album. And then she, after our show on Wednesday, she will be in concert as a part of her work with Next Level Events on Saturday at Vinyl here in Atlanta. And that will be her album release concert at Vinyl, where doors will open at 7:30 p.m. and her show will start at 8:30 p.m. And this is a ticket for only $25. We all know that is a steal for a great live show. So I'm likely going to organize a group of friends, and we're all going to have a drink somewhere near the concert and then walk over to the concert. So stay tuned for that, but I would love to see you there. We'll have a chance to share more details when we're on the show next week. So thank you again, everyone, for joining our show this week. We're excited to have brought you another great episode. And as we bid you farewell, to have an amazing and prosperous day, we encourage you to find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. Have an amazing day, everyone.
Your heart and